You've probably seen her on TikTok reading stupid news. Julie Baker is our guest on the pod. How you doing, Julie?
Dude, I am so swell. I'm so well. I'm so blessed and highly favored by everything. Everything that exists, I'm blessed and highly favored by.
You are like a woman of like millions of things on the go, though. Like, you're, aside from your social media, which has been incredibly successful reading stupid news, you are a TV anchor and a radio host. Is anything else that I'm missing in here?
Yes. You are missing that I am a professional napper because I don't get to sleep a lot between a lot of things. I'm a full-time sarcastic butthole.
I love it. I came across your bits and I absolutely, like, it was like an instant follow for me reading the stupid news. How'd you get started deciding to kind of go that route?
So I was a pretty hardcore, serious, very serious news anchor, for several years. I have an Emmy nomination for my work on an investigative piece I did on domestic violence and how it really ravaged this small town in Southwest Missouri. And yes, there are serious news stories, but sometimes there are news stories that we present as serious that are just stupid. Like, there's no way around some of these news stories not falling in the stupid category. And I remember one day it was during a new newscast. We're serious. We're on air. Our hair's got no flyaways. And I'm reading this story and in my head, I'm like, this is so dumb. Like, and I have to stay so straight faced about it. So I leave TV news in, gosh, like the end of 2020, you know, pandemic, and I go into radio. I have a radio show called The Julie Baker Show, egotistically named, and I think to myself, there's a lot of dumb news out here. And I think the first dumb news story that I did was about how there was a shortage of Santa Claus malls in like... I just posted about it and I had like this funny line that was something about like, ladies, you're going to have to start sitting on the laps of old men at the Applebee's or something like that. And then it just like did well. And I thought, oh, there are other people who see the stupidity in so many of these news stories. I wonder if I can do something with it. So I started to slowly do it more and more and then started to be consistent and started to see continued success and kind of just made it my shtick. I have a background in journalism. I'm back in journalism now. I'm an anchor reporter in Colorado, and I just keep doing it because so many people continue to be giant idiots.
Speaking of you being a journalist, I saw that you, being from Missouri, covered like the Gypsy Rose story.
Yeah,
I did. Can we get into that a little bit?
100%. Most, it's so bizarre. I remember sitting in our newsroom early that morning. I feel like it was a Tuesday. I can't remember if it was a Tuesday, but it felt very much like a Tuesday as I reflect back on it now. And it's been like 10 years, so I'm trying to remember the details, but I think we get this like thing from the police department or the sheriff. I think it's the sheriff's department because it was Greene County that was like, hey, this girl's missing. Gypsy Rose Blanchard, like, we can't find her. And then we get to creep in her Facebook, and there's this Facebook post on her mom, Dee Dee, her page that was like, I'm glad that explicit is dead. And we were like, ooh, what's going on here? So me and my colleague, who's actually my best friend, Stephen Morgan, he's an anchor for Fox Weather. He's a meteorologist. We go out to this community. It's a Habitat for Humanity community. And we get to poking around. We're talking to neighbors. Neighbors are in just complete disbelief that this woman who they have thought is just the sweetest little angel has been murdered. And nobody can believe it. Everyone's like, I can't believe this. What's going on? That evening, we get to talking to a neighbor. And this is before authorities had released anything. And the neighbor had said to us, yeah, we heard that she got up and walked out of the house without a wig. And then me and Stephen were like, oh, dun, dun, dun. And then the press conference with the sheriff's department rolls around. And the sheriff is like, guys, this story is not what it seems. And as I got to thinking about this story more and more, I'm like, this girl looks familiar. And when I first started at that TV station, I had actually worked in the promotions department as the person who'd come on camera and be like, hi, I'm Julie. Have you considered signing up for our blah, blah, blah program? You could win this and this. Or I would like promote TV shows or whatever. And while I was doing that, I was out at a concert event. I was reflecting back at this point, like I'm a reporter in the newsroom, and I was reflecting back to this time. And I remember this girl rolling up in a wheelchair. She has a mask. She has a cowboy hat. Like, you, by all accounts, she appeared to be very sick. But I remember thinking, something's off here, but who am I to call out a sick girl? I'm literally nobody. I'm just here passing out koozies. Lo and behold, I find that photo, and it's Gypsy Rose Blanchard. So I actually have a photo with Gypsy Rose Blanchard. Such a bizarre story. We dug into every single angle we could come across. This is when I'm very much a rookie journalist at this point. But yeah, I covered Gypsy Rose Blanchard. It was very weird. It was a very strange story.
That is wild.
It continues It continues to get weird because now she's like divorcing her husband who she married in prison, and she's back with her ex-fiance. I don't know what's going on, but I sent her love and light.
Yeah, that it's the whole story. We watched the like Netflix special, and then like when that was done, we went and watched like another documentary that was
Mommy
done on
Dearest
it.
Dead or something.
Yeah.
I think I remember that documentary. I think I have friends who were journalists in that. I'm pretty sure.
Oh,
I have to go back and review.
It's, that's just crazy. Yeah. Is that like the craziest story that you've covered then?
Ooh. In Springfield, there was another story that a colleague covered about how this mom, I cannot remember her name, but essentially like was a poisoning family members with antifreeze or something. But I covered Hurricane Florence pretty extensively when it hit the North Carolina coast. And I got some national time during that because I thought our cameras were off and there was this lady struggling with a Rottweiler getting it out of her flooded house. So I just picked it up. That went viral, which it was a Rottweiler and it didn't bite me. So I was like, cool. This seems like a win. Very sweet dog. But I think between those two, I feel like those take the cake.
No kidding. So how'd you wind up moving to Colorado then?
Let me explain to you TV news. I missed it. I missed it a lot. And I was working in a radio in this, I'd gone out a couple years ago to visit a friend up in Denver. And then I was like, I don't want to be in Missouri anymore. Let's see what's in Colorado. And I just applied. And coincidentally enough, I had had a friend who was an anchor at this station I'd actually gone to college with. So I reached out to her and I said, hey, Taylor, like, I know it's been a while, but I've applied for this job. And she's like, girl, you'd be perfect for this. And she's like, here's our news director's email. And so then I'm back in TV news. I'm back, baby. I missed wearing those jewel tone dresses.
Are you loving the Colorado life? It's like Denver has become my family's like favorite place to visit. This last trip we had a couple of interesting moments, but it's become our favorite place to visit.
Colorado is a great place to people watch because you don't know what people are going to do. We got these e-bikes in downtown or these, you know, the electric scooters. And I'm just all the time like, your brains are not going to stay inside. You acting like that. You acting a fool. So I feel good about it. I feel like there's always something happening.
There's always something to do.
There's always something to do.
Downtown Denver it's a whole different vibe than being on like the outside of Denver. We went downtown to film a couple videos and then went and had pizza. And the pizza place we went to, have you ever been to Redeemer Pizza?
No, but I feel like there's a Bible verse on the wall there somewhere.
This is like a must. Like, this is the best pizza I've ever had.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
It's called Redeemer Pizza?
Yes.
Okay.
So good. It's like down, it's just out of the, it's downtown somewhere. But you like, they have like service in like the back alley. Like they have like a whole like kind of lounge area. But you walk down this back alley that is all like spray painted and there's like garbage cans.
I don't know
there.
If you're selling me on this. This doesn't seem like a safe place to get pizza. Like,
and then there's like a glowing pizza slot, like a neon pizza light. Like, it doesn't actually say the name. It's just this neon pizza light. And you go in and the pizza was amazing. It was so good.
I feel like this is where the Ninja Turtles get pizza before they crawl down a little manhole to the to tunnels. You know what I mean? Like,
might be.
I'm going to write that down. I'm going to go to Redeemer Pizza in Denver.
Yeah, it was phenomenal. I loved it. My last time we were in Denver, we were looking up good pizza. We found that place. We went and bought like a full pie and then took it to our hotel. And it was good, but like, you know, we drove across town with it, so it cooled down.
Yeah.
This time it was like fresh, right? And like my kid was like, "Can I go get more pizza?" We're like, "Yes, you can." So
clean it up, son.
Yeah, like highly recommend the Redeemer Pizza in downtown Denver.
You know what I saw that you got to see that I was pumped that you got to see? Blucifer. For those who don't know, Blucifer is this giant blue statue that stands outside of Denver International Airport, and it has eyes that light up red. I don't know why. I don't know who thought this will definitely be welcoming, but it's not. It's freaky, especially at night.
Well, and then the whole... So I put a post up saying, "We're coming to Denver. What should I go see?" And a bunch of the messages got filtered into like this stupid abyss of Instagram.
100%.
So I found them while I was there. Yeah, I found them in the like hidden deleted requests or something. It's a weird folder. And I was like, why is everyone saying that you have to go see Blucifer? I'm like, what is Blucifer? So I looked it up and I'm like, okay, we can't actually stop there.
Yeah.
So we found one of the 42 other horse statues in Denver.
I was going to say we have many. Like where the Broncos play, there's just a giant horse statue above the scoreboard.
Oh, see, I missed that one.
Oh, well, you're blessed and highly favored. It's incredible. No, but Blucifer's freaky, and I expected to have like flames or something coming out of its nose. I feel like it kind of catches demon spirits or something. It's got something going on. There's a hex on it. There's a blessing on it. I don't know. But I don't want to look it directly in its eyes.
The creepiest part is the backstory, the creation story. That it did you look into that part of it?
I didn't, but I feel like I've been wanting to do a TikTok about Blucifer, and this is really going to set me on the journey to do it.
Okay. The artist who they like employed to create Blucifer died during creation because a part of Blucifer fell on him.
That checks, honestly. Like, what? No.
Yeah, absolutely not. So I'm just like, the name, which I know the official name is the Mustang, but no one calls it that.
I've never
even
heard it
Google
called the
Mustang.
Blucifer,
it comes that. Yeah.
Who's calling
the name,
it the Mustang?
The fact that it killed the creator. There was like a whole lawsuit involved with it. There's like a whole backstory.
Wow. I feel like I need to pitch this as a news story to my newsroom. They're going to tell me no, but I'm going to do the story anyways. Like, what?
I want to see that news story really bad.
The fact that we kept it up there after it had murdered someone, and it is supposed to be a guardian of the plains, I think not. I think not.
Okay. Now, and I didn't read this part of it. Someone else told me this part of it. But they said that after the guy had died, that the work wasn't being done. So then the city was suing the family to get their money back. And so then other artists were brought in to complete the project, and then they put it up. So I don't know how much of that part is true, but I do know the creator actually died because it fell on him.
Okay, rest in peace. I'm glad you got to see it, though. That's the creepiest thing that Denver has to offer that I know of so far.
The Cold War horse is pretty close.
What?
Have you gone out to see that one
no.
yet?
No. What is the Cold War horse? I'm learning so much about Denver from you, a Canadian.
It's in the northwest part of the city, Arvada or something like that.
Yeah.
Does that sound right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, just on the side of the highway, there's a horse in a hazmat suit. And it's to commemorate the nuclear weapons factory that used to be on that site.
Bless God. The things that Denver is celebrating, it couldn't be our rich expansion west, how brothels bankrolled the westward expansion. No, no. It has to be a horse in a hazmat suit. I mean, I'm impressed.
There's a whole story. Like the FBI raided this factory and they found all these violations and they like shut it down. It was in the early 90s, apparently. I read the whole
thing. What?
We were
there. This does not feel like an early 90s thing. This feels like a 1963 thing. Like,
yeah. Yeah, no, it was shut down in like 93 or something. I can't remember what it was. But it was a good story.
Okay. You're just giving me all sorts of ideas. I feel like I'm going to have to like tag you for the suggestion or something.
Oh, please do.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Because I don't want to miss that one.
Beautiful. Pretty impressed.
Yeah, there's all kinds of great things that we found there. I think that one of our favorite places we went and checked out, though, was the Red Rocks Amphitheater.
I haven't been to it yet.
Oh, my goodness.
But
first off, get ready for a lot of stairs.
Yeah. Well, and you're in this elevation, too. Like, you're just like, that's how it is. When you first move here, you do any sort of workout, you're dying.
Yeah, we went to check it out because we're like this, like my wife had found it. And last time we were in Denver, like a year and a half ago, she had found it. We never went. So we're like, this time we got to go. It was a nice day. We had beautiful weather that week. I don't know what it was in Fahrenheit, but in Celsius, it was like 15 degrees, which is really nice.
That's probably like 65. I don't know either. I'm just guessing.
It sounds ish. Sounds right-ish.
You guys got Celsius up there. May I ask about why do y'all go Celsius? Is this like a metric versus feet thing?
It's all part of the metric system. It's Celsius is so much easier, and my wife will disagree with me because she's from Massachusetts, and we still have to convert things for each other. But zero is freezing.
Okay, I want to put a pin in this.
Minus 40. And minus is cold. Plus is warm.
Okay, I want to put a pin in this because I do have some questions about Canada and America, but I do want to hear the Red Rock story. You going out there and you exploring it? Because I've heard it's beautiful. I just have never been.
Oh yeah, so we went to check out the amphitheater. It's a long walk down to it, and then we looked at these like 700 stairs up. It's not quite that many, but it's a lot. And as we're walking, there's this guy running who we've come to call Cookie Monster. he is fit as can be.
Yeah.
But he is running back and forth down the stairs and up the stairs, and the whole time he's going fitness, motivation. Thank you. So
that guy had done mushrooms before his workout.
Good chance. Maybe just lives on them.
Yeah.
So he's running and jumping up these, like every like flight of stairs has its own like level with like plants. He's jumping up these things and we're watching. And then suddenly 2 minutes later, he has a dog. I'm like, where did the dog come from? This man was for 10 minutes was just running up and down the stairs. Where did the dog come from?
I feel like you saw like a rip in the veil and you were actually looking into a video game. Like he's Mario and he's trying to hit his head so he can get mushrooms to run faster and a star to where he can't be killed. And he picked up a dog along the way. You know what I mean? Like it's a video game.
It may have been.
A companion. Like what's happening?
But needless to say, I want to go back to Red Rocks, A, in better shape, and B, to watch some kind of a concert there, because that place looks incredible.
It does. They have all sorts of shows there. Again, I haven't been, so I just report on them. Oh, I don't go.
You need to go to one.
Why do you think Americans, as a Canadian, so as America's hat, why do you feel like we don't want to go to the metric system? And also, can you please explain to me why, when we have races, like the turkey trot, that is in the metric system. 5K is 3.1 miles, but we don't say, I'm going to run 3.4. I'm not going to run 3.1 miles. I'm going to run a 5K. Why do you think that is?
I don't know. Someone somewhere was just really, really stubborn. And the metric system was coming around and they're like, nothing wrong with the way we do it now. I don't get this new age nonsense. It's never going to catch on. And then the rest of the world went, this is simpler. Let's give it a try.
I feel like I don't want to lay the blame at George Washington's feet, but I think it was probably him or his nephew or something. I don't know if George Washington had a nephew, but also I don't know much about George Washington other than he's our first El Presidente and he's on our $1 bill and our quarters. But I feel like this is a George Washington move.
I think what I know about George Washington was what I was taught in Hamilton, which is not a ton. Because it was mostly about Hamilton. And then also that he is on Mount Rushmore, because we went there and I had about 55 people correct me because I said the wrong Roosevelt was on the dime. I said, oh, these guys stand for change, the penny, the nickel, the dime, and the quarter. And then everyone said, wrong Roosevelt. And I'm like, oh.
Who's on the dime? And why can't I think of it? Like, I can see the back.
Teddy Roosevelt is on the dime.
Yeah.
And wait. Yeah. And then Franklin D. Roosevelt.
I'm going to Google it. Who is on?
Am I doing it right?
The dime. Franklin D. Roosevelt. That doesn't look right. My favorite president.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
FDR's on the dime and Teddy Roosevelt's on Mount Rushmore. So I, yeah.
Yeah. Teddy Roosevelt. I'll give you a little history lesson because Teddy Roosevelt is my favorite president. I have very obscure interests. In 1910, he gave a speech. Inside that speech is what's known as the man in the arena. And he talks about how everybody in the arena has an opinion, but nobody's in the arena. Like everybody in the seats, they got something to say, but nobody's in the arena. So it's really important to just let the people in the seats say whatever, but they don't matter. He also established the Antiquities Act, which is why we have national parks today. So,
Pretty sure
he also wrestled a bear or something too. Like that guy was rowdy.
We got a U.S. history lesson.
I know.
This is great.
Did you know his statue comes alive at a museum, but only when Ben Stiller is the night guard.
Oh, gotcha.
This is a joke to a movie called Night at the Museum. Sorry. Yes.
It took me a minute. I was like, what do you mean it comes alive?
I was trying to like history, lesson, divert you to some sort of weird, funny landing. It didn't stick. Listen, comedy is subjective. 60% are good. Another 60% are bad. I'm bad at math. That's too much. You know what I mean?
No, listen, it was good. Thank as soon you. As you said the Ben Stiller part, I got the joke.
Yeah.
I was hooked. I was drawn in before that because
for the kids who are freaked out, his statue does not come alive at night. Yeah.
Speaking of comedy landing, did I see you did like a comedy show not long ago?
It's coming up. I'm doing Stupid News live at Rip City Comedy Fest on May 2nd in Portland, Oregon. At least I hope it's the one in Oregon because that's where I booked my flight to. It is in Oregon. It's my first one. This guy named Joe, he runs the comedy festival. It's in his second year. He DM'd me on the old IG, and I saw it, thankfully, because I'm pretty notorious to miss messages. He said, hey, I do this comedy festival in Portland. I would really like for you to do Stupid News Live. And I said, Joe, I've never done stand-up. I have done improv. I have done public speaking my entire life. I've emceed so many events where I just turn the stage into my little stand-up routine. But I've never like had my own show. So now I'm having my own show. I'm going to be honest with you. My stomach's gurgling a little bit. Like I'm a little nervous because here's this thing that I've created online and I've been able to do so well. And I'm hoping it translates to a stage show. So yeah, come out and see it. It'll be mediocre at best and terrible at worst, but it'll be a fun-filled Saturday night. And if I don't do well, you can throw tomatoes at somebody else, but not me because I have a flight the next day.
I wish I was anywhere near there. I would love to come see that. That was like a dream at one point to like do stand up one day. And I'm like, I don't know. I if I got that email, I don't know.
I feel like I wanted to say no, but I did so much of my life saying no to things that I actually wanted to say yes to because I existed in this state of fear. This state of like, oh my gosh, like what if I fail? But now I'm like, okay, well do it scared. And what if you do fail? What if? But then also, like, what if you succeed? What if it turns into something great? Like, what if you can change your livelihood into doing something that you love, which is informing people, but then also, like, getting them to laugh somehow? So I'm like, all right, let's just see what happens. What's the worst that happens? I fail and nobody remembers, or I fail and everybody remembers? Either way, it'll be fine.
You're in Portland, Oregon. I mean,
they're all doing mushrooms out there, anyways, probably. I don't know. I've never been to Portland.
I really want to go to Oregon. It's because I want to go to Bend and see the world's last Blockbuster Video. I have this whole vision in my head of a Leroy's trip to Bend, Oregon to return his Blockbuster Video movie that he didn't return when Blockbuster closed in Moose Jaw and all the adventures along the way. But it's a long drive.
You could fly. We have planes now.
I know. I like driving better.
No.
We drove to Denver.
I need to tell you something, right? This is the most Midwestern thing I've ever heard in my entire life. If you're from the Midwest here in these here United States, and it's under a 16-hour drive, you're driving. Are you sure you're not a Midwesterner? Like I lived in North Carolina. It's a 16-hour drive from Missouri where my parents live. And I said, Dad, why don't you just get on a plane and fly? And he said, no, sis, I'm not leaving by my pocket knives. He'd rather drive 16 hours then take a plane because he didn't want to leave behind his pocket knives.
I think the Midwest and the prairies where I'm from in Canada are very similar. I've gotten that feeling. What makes up the Midwest? Like, what states make up the Midwest?
The unhealthy ones. The ones with bad policy. Like, in my mind, I'm actually not 100% sure, but Missouri's definitely in it. Tennessee, probably a little bit of Kentucky, parts of Indiana. I'd say, like, definitely Kansas. Kansas is flat, you know. Definitely Oklahoma is part of the Midwest. And I feel like there's one more state, but I feel like it's probably, like, Ohio. But I don't know. Like, Ohio has a Midwest mentality.
Like, Wisconsin. Every time I see something out of there, that feels kind of Midwest to me, too. But I guess it's too far. Is it too far north?
No, we can put Wisconsin in there. It's really, to me, in my mind, it's subjective. If you've done something that's just like, what are you doing here? You're popping your eyebrow. You're thinking, that's stupid. Then it's in the Midwest. It could be Maine. And I'll be like, that's Midwest behavior. Like, somebody's infiltrated.
Oh, that's fantastic. The driving part absolutely is 100% like what it's like here, because Moose Jaw, like our nearest big center, I mean, okay, our nearest city with an NHL team is 6 hours away. I'm not flying there. Like, I can drive. It's only 6 hours.
That's true. It might also take you 3 hours to get to an airport.
No, it's about 45 minutes away.
Okay.
Nearest. Oh. Airport to get me there. But I'm like, you go to the airport, you go through security, you sit in the airport, you get on, and then you sit on the plane for half an hour before they just the whole process, and then the seats are uncomfortable and everyone's crammed in there,
somebody's ripping butt.
100%.
There's a dwarf flying off because Boeing skirted some safety regulation. Like,
I flew to Massachusetts to see my wife's family with my son, and my wife was already down there, and this was like right after COVID, or like, you know, just coming out of it. So all the flights were like backed up and delayed and late, and they canceled our flight twice, and then they put us on a red eye flight. We first flew about an hour and a half in the opposite direction, and then got on a flight there and flew to Toronto, and then flew to Boston. So by the time we were on the Boston flight, my kid at the time was like throwing up in one of the puke bags on the plane. We hadn't slept. We'd been up for like 20 hours. And then a couple weeks later, we drove down and my son said, I don't want to fly again. I just want to drive everywhere. That's and that was a 32-hour drive.
Oh, no. Your son doesn't know the luxury of a $29 Frontier flight. You get there, but you got to pack your own seat.
See, we don't have those flights. That's half the problem.
Really?
Like, our flights are, well, yeah, you're like minimum like $600 to get somewhere.
You're kidding me. Frontier, I'm in the discount den club. And they're always like, I always fly like absolutely cheap. Like, I can't take luggage. I can only take a personal item, and I always take a backpack. And they're always like, shove it in the bin to prove it's a personal item. Otherwise, we're going to have to charge you. And I'm always like, see, it fits. Now let me on my $29 flight. And every time it happens, I'm like, I'm never flying Frontier again. Next time I book a flight, Frontier is the first website I'm going to, because the flights are cheap. You have to pay for snacks, but I'm not paying for snacks. I didn't even pay for baggage. Like, girl, I brought my own air on this flight.
I'm going to have to look up this airline. Maybe we can just like drive, you know, we'll still include some driving. We'll drive into the States and then fly where we want to go.
Yeah.
If they're that cheap, because yeah, we drive everywhere.
They always have animals on the wings, or not on the wings, but on the fin part. Like, it'll be a wolf.
Okay.
You're flying on the wolf plane.
That's how they identify them. What plane are you on today?
I'm on the wolf. The
Pegasus. It's making me nervous, actually.
Yeah. No, Frontier, if they hear this, Frontier, I hate y'all, but I love y'all at the same time. Like, you're cheap, but your customer service kind of...
It sounds safer. I'm sure it's safer than car travel. Maybe, I don't know. The discount airline still makes me nervous. But
yeah,
when we were driving back home from Denver on our 12 and a half hour drive, we were going through Wyoming, right?
Yeah.
That's north of Colorado.
I feel like that's right.
We were going through Wyoming, and it was like 6:37 in the morning, and I was this close to nailing a deer. Just bloop, right up out of the ditch. I swerved. Thankfully, there was no other traffic coming on that single lane highway in the middle of nowhere, and swerved back. And I was like, oh, well, we'll keep an eye out for more deer.
You could have had dinner, though. You missed your opportunity to have dinner. put that thing to the roof of your car to cool down, and then you can go ahead and cut the back strap out. I'm from very rural Missouri. Like, I'm so sorry.
You'd fit in, right? You'd fit right in around here. Absolutely. I don't feel like Missouri and Saskatchewan are sounding too different.
Yeah, it feels like we're very much the same. You guys have a lot of our, like, Hollywood comes up to Canada to shoot movies, don't they? Like, shoot TV shows, don't they? Like Vancouver?
Yeah, Vancouver's huge. Toronto gets a lot too. We used to get a bunch in Saskatchewan. But then they like cut, there used to be like a really good tax credit for these film companies.
Yeah.
And then they cut it. And then we quit getting them. But like, do you know the movie, Just Friends?
Yeah.
With Ryan Reynolds and Amy Smart. That was shot in Moose Jaw. That was shot in my hometown, set in New Jersey. But it was shot in Moose Jaw.
Isn't that the way it goes? You guys shoot, I think Superman and Lois shoots there on the CW. And so did Smallville a number of years ago. That's set in Kansas, but it's shot in Canada.
Yeah, there's so many. The new Ghostbusters movie was shot in Canada as well.
Really? That reminds me. I want to go see that.
The fields and everything. Oh, not the new one.
Oh.
So I forgot about that one. I want to go see that one.
Yeah,
actually.
Me too. Do you mean the new one where they had the girls as the Ghostbusters? Or the new one where they had, what's that girl?
Where they had Paul Rudd and the kid from Stranger Things.
Yeah, Stranger Things. Wait, is she from Stranger Things?
No, one of the kids, her brother was from Stranger Things, I think.
Yeah. And her grandpa's like Harold Ramis or something. We're off track right
now.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
There's no on track on the Leroy and Leroy podcast.
Yeah. Also, I want to apologize if your audience is watching this. My webcam sometimes does a cornucopia of methamphetamine and it just goes blurry. I have no clue why. So if you're looking at this going, why is she blurry? Do not adjust your vision. It's because my web camera is a drug addict and I haven't gotten it into rehab. My bad.
You know what works great? Just use your phone as your webcam.
See how this hand's focused? That's... Nope. And I'm
so
blurry.
Clear. Yeah. Nope.
I'm blurry. Sorry about that, guys.
I started using my iPhone as my webcam and like my video quality like quadrupled.
Dude, the iPhone does a great job. This is just one that's hooked up. You know what is so wild? Maybe you feel this way too. I feel like as a millennial on the cusp of elder millennial, I should have a better grasp of technology, but I don't. I absolutely do not. Like, I'm like, how does this, is there a child around here that can explain this to me? Like, I'm constantly fighting with technology. I'm not good at it. I wish I was, but that's not my talent in life.
I just buy Apple products and then they all play really nice together and they're kind of dummy proof.
They're not because I have all Apple products and.
Oh, see, literally, you can take like the cord you charge your phone with, plug it into your laptop or computer or whatever, and it will just recognize it as a camera. You don't have to do anything.
What?
It's amazing.
I'm learning so many things.
Okay, I wanted to ask about the comic books behind you in so many of your videos. What's the scoop?
Okay, I'm about to nerd out with you. I love Lois Lane. And between 1958 and 1974, they put out 138 issues of Superman's girlfriend, Lois Lane. And I have, I probably have like 40 of them. I also have this one comic. The only comic that I have that's not Superman's girlfriend, Lois Lane, is a Superman comic where the villain is a one-legged woman who's a pirate with an eye patch and a dog, and I've really related to that character, and so I had to pick that one up. But I find Lois Lane to be this really – I felt seen by Lois Lane, if that makes sense. Like, she's – maybe she's not as funny as me, but – you know, strong-willed. She goes after what she wants. She kind of doesn't take BS. And to me, her brilliance is equal to Superman's brawn. So she is really this, like, if I could be any character in any fictional book, it would be Lois Lane, because she has this tenacity that is so brilliant and inspiring and empowering. And I feel like she's in this era where maybe women weren't often portrayed by that. And she was not in these comic books originally. Like, the comic books, Superman's girlfriend, Lois Lane, are not like Amy Adams or the Betsy, I can't think of her last name, who plays Lois Lane in Superman and Lois, the CW show. Like, that's not Lois Lane in these comic books. In fact, in issue 16, which I have up here, Superman calls Lois Lane an idiot. Like, they kind of portray her to be this fool. But throughout these issues, you start to see this evolution happen in Lois Lane. What's happening simultaneously in society is the women's rights movement is starting to happen. So women are starting to get more rights and gain more ground. And that's kind of reflected in these comic books. And I find that to be so cool that you get to see like this historical evolution happening in cartoons. So I'm really fascinated by that. I think it's really cool. So on top of Lois Lane kind of, yeah, being like an idol of mine, I found just like this historical evolution to be so fascinating that you can literally see out in, you know, comic books. Yeah.
That is so cool. I literally was like, when I asked the question, was thinking like it was going to be like, oh yeah, I just grew up like in comic books, not like a like deep answer. That is really cool.
I know,
cool.
I put thought in this, but a lot of these like, and I feel like comic books are like clickbait headlines too, because some of them are like, what? And then you read it and you're like, oh, this is, it's like clickbait, but for the 50s, for the 60s, for the early part of the 70s. So yeah, I think it's so fascinating. Eventually, like, they Lois Lane's like, I got Superman's powers. What am I going to do with them? And she's a BAMF.
We used to have these commercials in Canada that were called Heritage Moments. And so it would just be like something about Canada's history, like, and it would be like a reenactment. And one of them was focusing on how Superman was created by a Canadian. But in like the reenactment, this guy's like getting on the train, leaving for the States, and somebody's like running on the train being like, I love you, forgot your picture. He's like, you can keep it, that's Superman.
Wait, is
so
that
like,
true?
I feel like,
is it
it was like invented, but he was like, but there's so many of these Heritage Moments where it was like Canadians who invented something, but they did it on their way to the States, or they were in the U.S. Like James Naismith invented basketball. We had a Heritage Moment about him inventing basketball in this YMCA in Springfield, Massachusetts.
Oh, yeah. That's like they come up with their brilliant idea, but they're like, but America's a capitalist society. I got to make my money on Canada's belt buckle, which is America, if Canada is our hat. I love that for you, Canada. You guys have had some really great people. Justin Bieber. Canadian. Shania Drake. Twain, Canadian.
Jim Carrey, Mike Myers,
Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah. Oh, so many like great, great, great comedians were Canadian.
Justin Trudeau.
It's mixed reviews about him these days, Julie.
I have heard, but only a little bit. I've only heard some things.
Yeah, but he's not, at least in these parts, not so well liked.
Is he really? Yeah. Because there was a time everyone was like, oh, Justin Trudeau. Ooh, he's hot. But now he's like, I'm divorcing my wife of 90 years.
Yeah, it's a lot of stuff's popped up about him over the years.
Okay, I'm going to have to go on a deep creep, because the way you're presenting Justin Trudeau to me, it's not so much a Justin Trudeau as it is a Justin Trudeau.
That's been a popular saying.
Too. Has it? Dang it, I thought I'd come up with that on my own.
Or Justin Trudeau is the other one.
Oh, okay. Noted.
Oh my goodness. I feel like we could stay on here for like hours and just chat. I appreciate you so much coming on the podcast, Julie. Where can people go and find you on social media?
Yes, it's all of my handles, TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, the Facebook. I'm going to keep calling it the Facebook. That's the original name and that's how the creators meant for it to be. Sue me, Mark Zuckerberg. It's at and Julie Baker.
There we go. Well, I'll make sure we post. I tag you when we start posting these up as well. We'll post a bunch of clips from this, but super appreciate you taking like, you know, the last 40 minutes of your day between radio and TV and Lois to chat with me.
She's my girl. Can I say this? I was on a TikTok live one time and I went to pick up the pirate one to give that explanation and the whole thing collapsed behind me. It fell. It shattered I have this flag, you know, I really love history. This flag only has 48 stars on it and it shattered the glass it was in. So I was like, my bad. So
was that when it just like randomly fell behind you?
Yeah. I don't know if I'd like just accidentally nudged it and not realized it, but it fell and I was like, okay, can the ghosts chill out? They're supposed to terrorize me at night, not during the day. So,
oh my goodness. Thank you so much. And Julie Baker, go check her out on social media. I appreciate it, Julie.
Thank you for having me.